This is the Light for Living broadcast from the First Baptist Church in Brayton. We welcome you to listen to our service today. We hope you enjoy the broadcast.
Thank you. I invite you to open up your copy of the Word of God with me this morning to the Old Testament book of Psalms, Psalm 119. We'll be looking at all 176 verses this morning in the time that we have been allowed. No, we won't. We'll be mainly focusing on verses 25 through 32. I wish we had time to look at all 176. Last Sunday morning, we were in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 15, in a sermon entitled Grace Giving. And the very basis of the reason why we give back to God is found in John 3:16, where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." Jesus himself talked more about money than on heaven and hell. There are more verses on money and possessions in Scripture than there are on the subjects of prayer and that of faith. 16 of the 35 parables that Jesus spoke refer to money or material possessions. And as I said last week, so how we use our money and our possessions says much about where we are in our walk with the Lord. Our spiritual maturity should be able to be measured from our checkbook. And what we do with the things that God has given to us is a great way of seeing where we are at spiritually. We began last Sunday morning with the question, what should be the motivation for serving and for giving? We then looked at three thoughts regarding being a graceful giver. Number one is the character of the grace giver in verses 1 through 6. We looked at the four ways that the Macedonians gave. They gave out of their poverty, Scripture says. They gave out of their, they gave with liberality. And they gave beyond their ability, and they gave very unselfishly. We looked at a second thought regarding being a grace giver, and that is the charity of the grace giver in verses 7 through 9. And we concluded with a third thought, and that was the continuing of the grace giver in verses 10 through 15. We close our time with four things to consider when you give back to God. Number one is to give generously. To give because you have experienced the kindness of God toward you. And if you have, say amen this morning. Have you experienced the kindness of God on your behalf? Then give generously because God has given generously to you. I invest in eternity. Very well said that what you keep, you lose, and what you give, you gain. The reality is that none of the things that you have here on earth, apart from the people that are around you, you will take to heaven with you. None of it. So why not invest it in the lives of people that you will take with you someday? Invest in eternity. V. Validate your commitment. Validate your commitment. Every time that I give back to God, giving proves that my love for God is still the love of my life, that I still love Him more than anything else that I have. And so we validate by giving back to God, we validate that we're committed to Him. And the E is to emulate the Lord Jesus. He became poor that you might be rich in God, Scripture says. He became poor that I might be rich. So how much more should I be willing to be poor that someone else might be rich in the things that God has given to them? We close our time with this reminder. May God help us to be grace givers because of the grace that He has shown to us. You're in Psalm 119 by now. Would you look with me at verses 25 and down through verse 32? Psalm 119, I'm going to begin reading this morning in verse 25. I would invite you to join me in standing if you're able as we publicly honor the reading of God's Word this morning. Follow along in your Bible, beginning in verse 25 of Psalm 119. It says this, "My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have declared my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so I shall meditate on your wonderful works. My soul is melting from the heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove me from the way of lying, and grant me your gracious law. I have chosen the way of truth, and your judgments I have laid before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I will run the course of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart." You may be seated. This morning's message is the final one in our series entitled The New Year, New Goals. Next Sunday morning we'll begin a new sermon series. And the title of that sermon series is this, A Name Means Something. A name means something. And you'll have to wait till next Sunday to hear more about that. But I invite you to be back next Sunday for that. But this morning as we conclude A New Year, New Goals, I want to look this morning at the subject of revival. And I want to talk about the relationship that exists between revival and the Word of God. A spiritual revival amongst the people of God always begins with one individual who is determined to keep his heart, his life, and his mind in close communion with God. People that are far away from the Lord, people that Scripture says in the Old Testament, people, Israelites, that were stiff-necked, were not close to God. They had no close fellowship with Him. Spiritual revival starts when we want to be so close to God that we never give up that pursuit. It's a desire to be close in communion and fellowship with God. To simply put it in an even more easy way this morning, I would say it this way, revival today is first and foremost about a Christian who personally wants to get right with God. A Christian who personally wants to get right with God. That's where revival starts. And so I ask you this morning, we need a spiritual revival today. Amen. I'll say that again. We need a spiritual revival today. Amen.
Amen.
The answer to that spiritual revival begins with the individual who just said amen. I hear people all the time say, I just wish that a revival would start. And I ask them this question, why don't you be the one to start it? We know that we need a spiritual revival. We know we want to see one take place. But folks, the answer is it starts with us getting right before a holy God. That's where revival starts. And this morning I want to show you from the Word of God that revival starts when you read the Word of God. There's a connection between where my heart is at and the Word of God. Revival starts, and I'll share this later on this morning, revival starts when I have a hungering and a thirsting for the Word of God. People that want to be revived spiritually, they need to have the mentality and the desire, I want to live a sold-out life for God. Nothing else matters because He is my focus. A sold-out life. So with that this morning, let's look to the Lord in prayer as we begin. Heavenly Father, we ask and we pray today that You would revive us, Your children. Children that You sent Your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to save. Father, we're thankful for Your Word, which is living and powerful, and we believe that this morning. Father, forgive us for we so often turn aside our eyes from the things that are eternal to the earthly things. Things that Scripture says are vain pursuits. Father, turn our eyes back to You. Turn our eyes back to the Word of God. Father, give us a fervent love for You and for Your Word that will bring about a spiritual revival in our lives personally, in the lives of those in our church, and Father, in the lives of those in our nation. Father, bless our time in Your Word this morning. May the Holy Spirit work amongst us this morning, drawing us closer to You, reviving our hearts. We ask all of this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who died for us and paid the penalty for our sin. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. This morning I've entitled this particular sermon, Revival and the Word of God. Revival and the Word of God. When do we need a spiritual revival? When do we need a spiritual revival? We need a spiritual revival when the following things are true. When church fellowships are better attended than church prayer meeting services, it's time for a revival. When you come for the food physically, when you should be coming for the food spiritually, something's wrong. We need a spiritual revival when we do not love Jesus as we did at salvation. When our love for Him, Scripture says, has grown stale, we become like the church at Ephesus. We have left our first love. We need a spiritual revival when we'd rather watch TV than read our Bible and pray. It seems more entertaining. We get more out of it. We need a spiritual revival. We need a spiritual revival when you have time for recreation and for sports and hobbies. But we cannot make time for serving God. It's time for a spiritual revival. We need a spiritual revival when we seldom talk or think about eternity. We need a spiritual revival. We need a spiritual revival. We need a spiritual revival when we make little effort to witness to the lost. When we're unmoved by the fact that 2 billion people in the world have never heard the name of Jesus Christ or the message of the gospel, we need a spiritual revival. We need a revival when we're bored with worship and Christianity seems joyless and dry. We need a spiritual revival. We need a revival when we know the truth of God in our heads, but we don't practice it in our lives. It's time for a spiritual revival. We need a revival when people have to be entertained to be drawn to church. They don't come because they want to. We need a revival when the once raging fire of our desire to live for God and our pursuit of Him has gone out in our hearts in our marriages, in the church. We need a revival. We all need revival. Amen. One person said it this way, revival is like a bath. There's more to your day than a shower or a bath, isn't there? But you know what? It's good every now and then. It has a purpose every now and then. It has a purpose in our lives. Spiritual revival is something, folks, we desperately need. So I ask this morning, as we begin this sermon, what we sang about last Sunday morning. Do we really want revival? And as the hymn writer so well put it, do you really want God's power at work in your life? Because who you are today, if God's power takes over, you won't be the same person tomorrow. Do you really want a spiritual revival? Do you really want God's power at work in your life? Do you really, the psalmist puts it beautifully, do you really want His Spirit to control you? The Holy Spirit. Do you want Him to lead and guide in your life? It's interesting when you come to the Word of God and you come to Psalm 119. 176 verses. Longest chapter in all of the Bible. And it's on the Word of God. And if I can say it very bluntly this morning, we need a deeper hungering for God's Word. Amen? We have internet articles to read. We have magazines. We have newspapers. But folks, what we really need a hunger and a thirst for is the Word of God. Why would God put the longest chapter in all of Scripture on His Word if it wasn't important? God's Word is important. Scripture says in the New Testament, everything that I need for life and godliness is found in His Word. It's been given in the person of Jesus Christ. God has given us His Word. If you were to go through Psalm 119 and you look for the word revive, this is not a passage of Scripture where you would expect to find the word revive right in the middle of a conversation the psalmist is having about the Word of God. You wouldn't expect to find the word revive in there, wouldn't you? Not the passage you'd be looking for. But intermittent throughout Psalm 119, this word revive keeps popping up, and little subwords that are used that mean the same thing as revival are brought up, and it's all, I would say this morning, in connection to the Word of God, because the Word of God, when it's preached, when it's taught, when it's read, it brings about a change in our lives. Amen? God's Word changes us. And if we're not in God's Word, we're not reading, it doesn't change us. And spiritual revival never happens. Let me ask you, in the past week, have you checked Facebook more than you've read your Bible? Let me ask you, in the past week, how many times have you turned on the TV as opposed to how many times you've opened the front cover of your Bible? Revive. It's the word I want you to focus on this morning. I want to show you from Psalm 119 this connection between revival and the Word of God. The word revive brings about a beautiful word picture. It means to make alive. It means to keep alive. It means to give more life to. A young girl became a Christian in an exciting revival at her church and was baptized the closing Sunday morning. That afternoon, she ran through the house singing and dancing, so overjoyed with excitement. Her sour grandfather rebuked her with these words. "You ought to be ashamed of yourself," he said. "You just joined the church and were baptized, and you're singing and dancing on the Lord's Day?" Crushed by her grandfather's attitude, the little girl went out to the barn and climbed up on the fence rail and observed the old mule that was standing there with that sad, droopy face, bleary eyes. As she reached over and patted the old mule sympathetically, she said this, "Don't cry, old mule. I guess you've got the same kind of religion that Grandpa has." I want to ask you, do you have a religion or do you have a relationship? Spiritual revival starts with a relationship, not a religion. Not a denominational title. It starts with you and the work of God in your heart. We need to be asking the Lord this morning, all of us do, revive me, the psalmist says, look at verse 25, revive me according to your word. We don't live with an active conscience of God's word in our lives on a daily basis. If we did, there would be a spiritual revival of magnanimous proportions. But we don't. Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God. 176 verses that draw our attention this morning to the work of God in our lives. God's Word is far more than just a Sunday morning message. Amen? Amen. It's far more than just a little devotional snippet that you read in the morning to make you feel better when you have your coffee. God's Word has far more to do with our lives than we even fully understand. When someone's heart stops beating, 911 is called. I used to work for Tractor Supply. We had a gal that worked there that had some medical conditions. And I remember one night she had an episode at work and she was laying on the floor in the manager's office and was very quickly fading consciousness. And I remember sitting there and having my manager freak out on me because he'd never been through this. And I'm holding this gal's hand and I'm asking her, please just keep squeezing my hand if you can hear me. And there came a point in time where she quit squeezing my hand. And that was the moment he dialed 911 and there was an ambulance there faster than could be. They came in, they cleared us out of the room. The paramedics brought in something called the defibrillator. They fired that thing up and restarted her heart. Can I tell you this morning, some of us, we need that same kind of a jolt to wake us up. We need a spiritual defibrillation, if I can say it that way this morning. We need somebody to rub the pads of the Word of God and give us a good jolt. We need a spiritual revival. Our hearts are no longer where they need to be. The Word of God is much like a defibrillator. When you read the Word of God, when you study the Word of God, it makes us alive again toward the things of God and toward eternity. Amen? Every time you read it, if you come away from God's Word and you're not energized about God or the things of eternity, you didn't open your eyes. Because He's all throughout Scripture. Eternity and what happens after this life is seen all through the pages of Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament. It's all over. You cannot read God's Word and come away from it not feeling revived toward God, feeling refreshed. And we need to understand this morning that in every spiritual revival that has ever taken place, there's always been one thing in common, and that it is a desire and a hunger for God's Word. Spiritual revival starts where I have a desire and a hunger for the things of God found in His Word. Look at all of the great awakenings. Look at all of the spiritual revivals. People had a hunger and a thirst for God. That's why they had meetings every day of the week. That's why they didn't have facilities that would hold everybody. Because people had a hunger and a thirst for God. You know what the sad thing is today? People don't want to hear what God has to say. Because God doesn't understand my life. God doesn't know what I'm going through. I don't want to listen to the Creator of the ends of the earth. I want to listen to me. If that's you this morning, can I tell you something? There is not a lot of hope for a spiritual revival with an attitude like that. Somebody that wants to be spiritually revived comes to this text of Scripture that we're going to come to this morning and reads verse 25, "My soul clings to the dust, revive me according to your word." Let me ask you, are you here today because you really have a hunger for the Word of God? Or did you come because if you weren't here, somebody would say something? And if you said this morning, well, I came because I have a hunger for God, let me ask you a second question. Why are you only hungry on Sunday morning? Why are you only hungry on Sunday morning? I don't know about you, but I eat not once every day, I eat three times a day. Monday through Sunday, I eat. So do you. If you really have a hunger and a thirst for God, then why don't you have a hunger on Sunday night? Why don't you have a hunger on Wednesday night? If you're really that hungry for God and His Word. You and I should hunger for more of God. I want you to walk through Psalm 119 very quickly, and I'll get into this morning. Psalm 119. The word revive is used 9 times, that specific word, and there are different words that mean similar things to the word revive. Notice these verses with me, and I would encourage you to underline the word revive every time that you see it, and I'll walk you through these verses. Verse 25, he says, "Revive me according to your word." Look at verse 37. He says this, "Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way." Drop down to verse 40. He says, "Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness." Look at verse 88 with me, if you would, this morning. "Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth." 107, he says, "I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word." Verse 149, "Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. O Lord, revive me according to your justice." 154, "Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word." 156, "Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments." And verse 159, "Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness." Psalm 119, verses 25 through 32 is where I'm going to focus this morning. This section is structured by powerful effects of God's word. It revives the soul, verse 25. It imparts inner strength, verse 28. It guides into truth, verse 30. And verse 32 says that it enlarges the heart. When we're down, when we're afflicted, when we're grieving, when we're suffering, when we need the Word of God. So the psalmist reveals his condition, then confesses that God's Word is the answer. Revival comes when we reach the end of our own resources. We repent and we call upon God to intervene. The psalmist is clearly in this condition when he writes Psalm 119. He's humbled and he's broken. Look at verse 25. "My soul clings to the dust." Literally, my soul is cast into the dust. What can he do? And the answer is nothing. Thus he prays, "Revive me according to your word." This prayer for revival is based upon God's word. For God promises to give life to those who seek Him. The arousing, inspiring Word of the Lord is the surest source for every trial that we face in our lives today, of the body, of the mind, and of the soul. These verses testify to the ministry of God's divine Word upon my heart, that may be filled with sorrow, that may be filled with mourning. Because of the deadening effects of the world around me and the fallenness within. Let me tell you something this morning. The reason why your heart may need revitalized is because the things of the world have deadened your sense of who God is. I don't know a lot about the heart, but I know enough to know that if you eat a lot of greasy food, it causes all kinds of problems with the heart. I've sat in hospitals with people that have had bypass and double bypass and triple and quadruple bypass surgeries to have their heart open back up so that it works right. Some of us, we need our spiritual heart to be opened back up toward the things of God. We need to be in tune with Him. The psalmist says that he needs a revival because he's laid low. As he contemplates the things that have deadened his sense of who God is, he goes back to the Word of God. He asks God for understanding and for strengthening. And I want to share with you in the time that we have very quickly three thoughts regarding revival in God's Word. Number one is the request. Look at verse 25. The request. He says, "My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word." My soul clings to the dust. The psalmist prayed for reviving because he was laid low in suffering and affliction and in deep agony here. I don't know why the psalmist, it tells us, prostrated himself in the dust before God, but he fervently sought God's enlivening breath or spirit. He had come to the end of himself. Some suggest that the psalmist, when he wrote this, was near death. We don't know. It doesn't tell us specifically. But he asked God to revive him again according to his word. God's word. The King James Bible has the word quicken, which is a wonderful word. Because the New Testament says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, and has made them alive together with God." Means to save me alive, to restore life to me, to revive. He asked the Lord to invigorate, to breathe in him new life. Aren't you glad that God breathed? We don't stop and think about that. But when God breathed, he breathed into mankind the breath of life, and he, Scripture says, became a living being. Some of us, we need God to breathe into our lives a little bit and to spiritually revitalize us again. To give us a hunger and a thirst for him. I want to keep moving. A second thought regarding revival in the Word of God is this: the realizations. Verses 26 through 29, the realizations. The psalmist realized that God's word has the answer to the believer's every need. There's not a need that Scripture doesn't talk about. In these verses, he applies God's word in various ways to his life. Verse 26 stresses that through his word, God answers those who confess their ways to him. He says this, "I have declared my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your statutes." The psalmist has confessed himself and his ways to God, and the content of that declaration is left open. And we conclude that his confession of sin and repentance is mentioned in here. And as a result, God answered him. And I would say it this way this morning, the key to spiritual revival, reviving of the heart, is this. It's always the confession of sin, because sin hinders my heart before a holy God. God is not going to revive somebody living in sin. Scripture says, confess it, forsake it, and go on. That's where spiritual revival starts, is the confession of sin. Repentance for your sin. As a result, God answered him. Those who have heard God's voice in his word should say, "Teach me your statutes." Without divine assistance, we do not comprehend the word of God. We don't have a clue what it means. But God gives us that understanding. God's word is unlike any other book. It was given by God's inspiration. It's his revelation to man. And on its pages we find everything that we needed to know in order to receive salvation and to live for the Lord. Paul declared in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, "It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." And that's what the psalmist had in mind when he asked God to teach him his precepts. He wanted an increased knowledge of God and his will. God's word is like a deep, deep mine, and the jewels, rich and rare, are hidden in its unfathomed depths for every searcher there. Let me ask you, when was the last time you brought some of those jewels to the surface? The truths of God's word. Verse 27, he asked for divine assistance in understanding the word of God and the way of God. "Make me understand the way of your precepts, so I will meditate on your wonders." Our lives are cluttered with textbooks, with teaching and instructional books. But the authors never come to help us, do they? They never come to help us implement any of their teachings. I'm reading a book right now by Field and Stream on fishing techniques. But you know what? None of those guides have ever showed up at my house to show me exactly what I'm doing wrong, even though I'm trying. Can I tell you something? When you come to the Word of God, the teacher is always there to help you, to instruct you, to show you how to live, how to apply. The teacher is always there. That's the uniqueness of our Bible. Praise God, the teacher is always present when the book is open. Amen. God not only provides rules and guidelines, but He comes with us personally each day to strengthen us so that we can live according to those precepts in His Word. God is the instructor. We need to keep moving this morning. Verse 28 is a prayer for strength according to the promise of God's Word. My soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to Your Word. You ever stop to think about the heaviness of God's Word? I mean the weight of God's Word this morning. What God asks, what God says. You look at the world around you and you feel the weight of what's going on in comparison with God and His Word. He says, my soul melts from heaviness. When I read the pages of Scripture, I don't come away ever feeling like I am a great person. What I come away from the Word of God when I read is this: I'm an awful, wretched sinner who needs God's grace. And praise God, He's given it to me.
If you would like to join us for our Sunday services, we have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. for all ages, morning worship at 10:30 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. You can also join us on Wednesday evenings for prayer and Bible study at 7 p.m. We hope that you enjoyed the Light for Living broadcast from the First Baptist Church in Brayton today.